Okay, okay. This week we have Achrim Weiss and Kedoshim go together. And at the beginning of Pashas Achrim Weiss in Peretz Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk tells us, "Bezois Yovai Aaron el HaKadosh." With this, Aaron enters into the Beis HaMikdosh, into the Kadosh, Befar Ben Brokul HaChatos, with a par for a Karmen Chatos, the Ayol HaOilon, and an Ayol for a Oilon. It says later on in Pasuk Hey, "Umeis Adas Bnei Yisrael Yikach Shnei Sirei Izim Lachatos." So from Bnei Yisrael, he takes two goats for a chatos, and the Medrash brings down Bezois Yovi Aaron. With this, Aaron enters into the Beis HaMikdash. Bezois, what's with this? What?
4:10.
Says the Medrash, "Bepar Ben Bako." With a par Ben Bako is connected Avram Avinu. It says that Avram Avinu Vel HaBakor Rots Avram. Avram ran to the Bakor when the Malachim came. He thought they were guests. Avram ran to do the mitzvah of Achnosas Archim, Vera Bakor. He ran to the Bakor. So the schus of Avram Avinu, Befar Ben Bakor, corresponds to the Bakor that Avram Avinu ran to prepare for the Malachim. The Ayol Ayla, the Ayol says in Medrash, is that Kineged Eloi Shal Yitzchak. Kineged the Ayol of Yitzchak, by the Akedah. Instead of bringing Yitzchak as a carbon on the Mizbeach, what happened? Avram sees the Ayol. And when Hashem tells him not to bring Yitzchak, Avram brings the Ayol instead. So the Ayol, Lo'ayol, represents the Schus of Yitzchak Avinu, the Ayol of the Akedah. Shnei Se'irei Izim represent Yaakov Avinu. Like it says, Rivka said to Yaakov, go and bring Shnei Gedoye Izim. When Yitzchak had sent Esav to go and shecht for him and bring back for the brachas, Rivka calls Yaakov and says to Yaakov, I want you to go out and take Shnei Gedoye Izim, two goats. Those two goats, Shnei Sirizim here, on Yom Kippur, correspond to the two goats that Yaakov Avinu took for the brachas. Says the Medrash, Bezois, what right does Aaron have to come and do the avoid on Yom Kippur? In the schus of the Ovis. The schus Avram, the schus Yitzchok, the schus Yaakov, the Far Ben Bako represents the schus of Avram, the Ayel is the schus of Yitzchok, and the Shnei Sirizim is the schus of Yaakov Avinu. Bezois, we know that many times we need schusim, and a person can't always rely on his own schusim, but we rely back on schusim that we have, schusovis. Especially Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we have a schusim. Chai Yisrael has legs to stand on, schusim to stand on. Bezois, the well-known vart we said over many times.
You got the chush of a guest.
Bezois, Yovai Aaron el HaKadosh.
Come here.
Bezois, the idea is brought down. If you look inside a Rosh Hashanah machzor, Yom Kippur machzor, so we're all familiar, and of the Sfaradim say it, was a shuva, sfigel, tztoko, ma'avim, and esroya, gzeira. Say it? Okay. Was a shuva, sfigel, tztoko, ma'avim, and esroya, gzeira. Shuva, tfigel, tztoko, remove the evil to create a bad gzeira.
Pretty universal concept.
Universal, okay. Right. The in most machzorim, on top of the word tshuva, it says it's saim. In small letters, it spells out the word saim, fasting, tzadik vav mem, right? On top of the word tefillah, it says koil, kuf vav lamid. And on top of the word stok, it says momoin, mem vav nun. Something very interesting about those words. You take the word saim, and you eat up the gematria, you eat up the value of the letters, saim, tzadik is 90, vav is 6, mem is 40. 136. The word koil, tefillah, koil, voice, speech, kuf vav lamid, 136 again. Staka is mamoin, mem vav nun. Also, 40, 46, and 50, 136 again. It all equals to 136. Almost finished.
What's 136?
How many times do you have 136? Three times. Now we have to use, without the calculators. 136 times 3, 3 times is how much?
508.
Almost. 408. How much is 136 times 3? 408. What's the gematria of the word Zois? Zayin, Aleph, Sof? 408. Sof is 400. Aleph is 1. Zayin is 7. 408. Bizois. With Zois. With all three. With tshuva, tefillah, staka, yovai aron el HaKadosh. A person wants to do tshuva. A person wants to enter into the Kadosh. Bizois. It's a combination of fasting, of doing tshuva, of koil, of tefillah, and of tztaka mamoin. 408, the zayis, with all of these chusim, a person is zayichet to enter into the kaidish on Yom Kippur. The next pasuk Dalet tells us, kesaynes bad kaidish yilbosh, the kohen gadol wears a kesaynes, or michnasei vad yu abasari, he wears the michnas and the pants, and the avnet, and the mitznefes, big day kaidish, they're all big day kaidish, verochatz ba'mayim, he washes in water, besaroi, uveshim, he puts on the begadim. And Rashi tells us, Ksoinis bad, Magid, the Pasuk teaches us, She'enoi meshamesh gofnim b'shmoyne begadim. Then when the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah on Yom Kippur inside the Kohen Shekadoshim, he doesn't wear the eight begadim that he wears outside. She'o meshamesh behem b'chutz that he wears outside, she'esh behem zav that have gold, but he wears only four begadim inside, which are the white begadim, the big day lavan that don't contain any gold. Why can't the Kohen Gadol wear gold inside the Kohen Shekadoshim? Lefish ain't katengon, nasis anegab. Because the prosecutor can't become the defender. Gold is a prosecutor. Why is gold a prosecutor? Because we made, unfortunately, the Egel Hazov, made the Egel of gold. So gold represents the Averis, reminds Hashem, us, of the Averis that we did, the golden calf, the Egel Hazov. So therefore, when the Kohen Gadol enters the holiest place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't wear the begadim that have gold, because gold represents sin, averis. We don't wear gold inside. The prosecutor does not become the defender to defend us before Hashem inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So brings down Rashi, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. If that's true, why does the Kohen Gadol wear big day zahav outside? When does the Avodah and the Azara on Yom Kippur, he brings the Karbonos outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, why is he dressed in a begadim that contain gold? After all, Yom Kippur is a day of Mechila, Slicha, Kapara. We don't want a Kohen Gadol with gold that reminds of the Avera of the Egel Azov. And the Gemara answers that the rule of Ein Ketega, Nasas Neged, is only inside, not outside. It only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When you're going in before Hashem, you can't wear anything that reminds Hashem of the Averis that we did. But on the outside, the rule doesn't apply. So says the Gemara. Rav Zalman Sirotzin Zatzal asks, we're all familiar with the Avodah of Yom Kippur. We know the Avodah, we say the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And we know that Kohen Gadol had a very busy day. It says he didn't sleep. They didn't let him sleep even at night because he shouldn't fall asleep on Sikari, become Tamei. They kept him up, mamish, from the beginning of Yom Kippur until the end. He has 24 hours or more without sleep. He had a busy day. For the time, the morning, Alois HaShachar comes, he's busy with the Mizbech, with the Gabonis. He has to change from the gold begadim to the white begadim. He goes inside, comes back out, he's Taifu again, changes back five times, back and forth, back and forth. He runs through the Mishnah Masechta Yuma, so many different opinions, which Avodah did when, and we have a whole process that the Kohen Gadol did. And the question is obvious. What was the purpose of the Kohen Gadol wearing the big day zav outside? If he has to change to go inside, and we're not supposed to wear any reminder of the Avera of the Egel Zav, why was the Torah so machped? Change back, change back, change back, gold. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier if the Kohen Gadol wore a big day love on the entire day? It didn't have to change back and forth. The whole day would be Bikadusha, Batahara with the big day love on. We know need to change back and forth from the gold to the white and so on. And Zalman Sirotzkin answers a very powerful, powerful answer. And he says, when it comes Yom Kippur, what is the mitzvah of the day for Yom Kippur? What's the mitzvah Hayom? If somebody would ask you, what's the mitzvah of the day of Yom Kippur? What would you say? Okay, it's fasting. It's inyan nefesh. Can't do malacha. There's inyan of tefillah. Inyan of tshuva. Okay, person do tshuva, tefillah. Truth is, we do both Yom Kippur. We daven, avinu malkeinu, kal bevarachim baratins tefillah seinu. And so we daven, but you also ask for slicha mechila. Hopefully a person does tshuva as well. What brings a person to do tshuva? What arouses a person to do tshuva?
Guilt.
Okay. Sometimes. Or sometimes a little musa. If somebody gives a person musa. If somebody sees a friend doing something wrong, he should, in a nice way, not in a bad way, in a nice way, approach him and tell him that there's room to improve. It's better to do it this way, a little musa. A person has musa, a person receives a little musa, he realizes that there's room to improve. Sometimes Hashem sends a person a message. he has a setback in life. They read the chas. Don't be so dramatic. A little thing happens. Something, you know, he has a little setback in life. It's a message. Message that he needs room. There's room for improvement. He can improve himself. There's tshuva. Then there's tefillah. That, to Zalman Savotskin, is a major difference between the two. When you're giving musa to somebody, you have to mention the avera, or else he doesn't know what he did wrong. But when you're davening to Hashem, you don't mention anything bad about Klal Yisrael. You mention only zchusim about Klal Yisrael. You don't mention any averas that Klal Yisrael did, only zchusim. You mention to Hashem, Yimram it's zchus, on Klal Yisrael, you only say good that they did, and you express everything in a favorable way. If that's the case, everything is explained. When the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah outside, whole Klal Yisrael was standing in the Azor. Everybody was there. The Mishnah Mizan was packed. Everybody came to see the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. V'kahanim v'ha'om amdim ba'azorah. Everyone was standing in the Azor. It was packed. In front of the Tzibur, in front of people, he wore the Big Day Zohar specifically. So they should remember, we have to do tshuva. We did Averis. It's time to do tshuva. So he wore the Big Day Zohar to remind us of the egos of the Averis that we did. We should do tshuva. When he went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, who was with him? Nobody. V'chol adam ro'yiyah v'ayhom ro'yin, says the pasuk. Nobody was allowed to be inside. And the Gemara goes so far as to darshan that even Malachim couldn't be there. Even a Malach was not allowed to be inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was only the Kohen Gadol and the Shekhinah. When the Kohen Gadol is standing only before Hashem, the Shekhinah, there's nobody there. At that point, you can't mention anything bad about Klal Yisrael. He davened to Hashem that Klal Yisrael should be saved, only good gezeiros during the year. Then the Kohen Gadol dressed only in white. Not to mention, and not to have any reminder whatsoever of the averus that Klal Yisrael did. When a person is misbowled to Hashem about Klal Yisrael, misbowled only for good, and only mentions the chusim of Klal Yisrael, not the averus. So inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol wore only white. No reminder, no zeichin, no hint of the avera that Klal Yisrael did. But when the Kohen Gadol did the avoda outside, it was in front of everybody. He's the dafka. He specifically wore the gold begodim. So people should see it, and it'll be a reminder that they should do tshuva. Big difference. I think it's a very powerful, powerful lesson. When you daven to somebody, we all know people need yeshuas. If you daven to somebody, you always malam etzchus. You daven always good, never mention a bid or an avera. But sometimes when you have to give a person musar, you can mention it in a nice way to encourage a person to do tshuva. The pasuk says later on, Perek Zayin, pasuk Yud Gimel, pasuk tells us. I'm sorry, Yizayin. Perek Zayin, pasuk Yizayin. The pasuk tells us. Nobody's allowed to be inside the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when Aaron enters until he leaves. Aaron went in, the Kohen Gadol goes in all by himself. We're all familiar with the Mishnah at the end of Masech Tohari, it's the last Mishnah, very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Kaidim Kohen Gadol Am Oretz. But a Mamzer, who's a Talmud Chacham, comes before a Kohen Gadol, who's the Am Oretz. Talmud Chacham, you know, he might be a mamzer, he takes precedence, and we mechaber him, and let him go first, before Kohen Gadol, who's an Amoritz. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says, who are we speaking about? The Kohen Gadol is the holiest person that Klal Yisrael has. He goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishnah says that the mamzer, Talmud Chacham, comes before the Kohen Gadol Amoritz, and the Rav brings down, like it says in Mishnah, Yikara hi mepininim. Paninim means lufnim. The Talmud Chacham, the Torah, is yikara, is more dear, more choshev, more important than the Kohen Gadol who goes lufnai v'lufnim, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. We're speaking about the Kohen Gadol, who's the holiest person that Klal Yisrael has. We're speaking about the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur. We're speaking about the holiest place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Still, Yikara a Torah. The Torah is more chashuv than the most important person on the most important day in the most important place in this world. Yikari mipaninim, Torah is more chashuv than even the Kohen Gadol who goes with Nai v'lufnim, such as the chashivas, the value of Torah. Chavetz Chaim, and we said this over many times, he explains, paninim, the simple pshat is diamonds, jewels. Torah is more choshuv than jewels, precious diamonds. The Torah is comparing Torah to diamonds. The Chofetz Chaim explains, what's the comparison of Torah to diamonds? And he says the following. If someone has a diamond, the diamond weighs a carat. It's worth a certain amount of money. If he has a diamond twice the size, the diamond is not just worth twice the value, it's worth much, much, much more. The larger the diamond is, the more it's worth. It doesn't increase proportionately. The value of diamonds increases by the size. It's not proportionate that double the size is double the value of the previous diamond. It increases, the larger the diamond, the more it's worth. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the same is true when it comes to Torah. A person who learns for a short while, and somebody learns double the amount, it's not that his schar is just double. His schar is so much greater and greater and greater, like a diamond, doesn't increase proportionately. The schar for learning, every extra minute that a person learns, his schar increases more and more. It's not a proportionate increase. It's even worth more than precious diamonds. So a person has the opportunity to learn, use the extra few minutes, hours, whatever a person has to learn, because the schar is so much greater, and the mitzvah is so much greater. The Chofetz Chaim says, he made a cheshbon, and there's no greater mitzvah in the world than Torah. A person can't do more mitzvahs than by learning Torah. Every word of learning is a mitzvah. If you learn for 1 minute, how many words can you say in a minute? 200, 250, if you have the cheshbon, you can say in a minute. If you say so many words in a minute, each word is a mitzvah. So if you learn for 1 minute, you have to write 200 mitzvahs. You learn for an hour, thousands of mitzvahs. There's no other mitzvah you could do that in such a short amount of time, you could get as many mitzvahs. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Therefore, Talmud Torah is equal to all the other mitzvahs, because he's chaperang so much and earns so much over a short period of time. But Yerushalmi brings that at the end of the Masechta Peah, v'lashon hara keneged kulam. The opposite, the flip side is also true. The opposite is true. A person who speaks lashon hara, there's no greater aveira, because each word is an aveira. A person who speaks lashon hara for an hour, every word is an aveira. There's no aveira that adds up as fast as lashon hara does. Each word that a person speaks is another aveira. So you have on one side Talmud Torah, you have on the other side the lashon hara. A person has to be careful and realize the difference. And hopefully, when a person has extra time, he'll use it for Talmud Torah in order to acquire many mitzvahs. We go over the Parshas Kedoshim. The Parsha starts off in Perik Yutes Pasuk Beis. Darbel kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem olkeichem because I am a kadosh. Ish imoi v'oviv tirol Pasuk Gimel, a person should fear his father and his mother and his father v'es shab soysay tishmayru and he should watch my Shabbos ani Hashem olkeichem am Hashem. And the Ben Ishchai is a very powerful insight. Pasuk Beis tells us, be Kaddish, be holy. Easier said than done. How could a person be Kaddish? We live in the world that we live in. We're all out there in the world. We all know what's going on outside. Kaddish ani. How can we be Kaddish in such a world? It's very difficult challenges and the sionis that we have. We have difficult challenges that the previous generations didn't have. It's a different world today outside. Kadosh ani, kadoshim, you should be holy. How do we become holy? The Ben Ishchai says, Ish imoy v'oviv tirol. You want to become kadosh? Look back at the previous generations. Look back, father. Look back, your mother. Look back at the previous generations. They had nisyonis. They had challenges in life also. They were faced with difficult situations. What did they do? How did they overcome it? A person has a challenge. You want to do the right thing. The first thing you do is you look back. What did my parents do? What did the Baba do? What did the Zayda do? Go back generations. Klal Yisrael throughout the generations had this yoinis from day one, all the way down from Avraham Avinu until today. We had many challenges and many nisyonis. How did the previous generations overcome the nisyonis? Ish imoy v'aviv tirol. You want to be kadosh? Ish imoy v'aviv tirol. Look back at one's parents of the previous generations and the other person chizik to overcome. Whatever nisyon we're going through, they went through in one way or another as well. How did they react? What was their reaction? What did they do? We can learn from them how to behave. The Dunam Magid's Marshal, as the Beish, I say over and not, we said it over many times. Everyone knows the story, but I'll say it over, and if it takes too long, so you stop me. Okay. Rashi brings down Ishimaiva Aviv Tiro with Shapsai Sai Tishmairu. Rashi brings down what's the connection between fearing one's parents and keeping Shabbos. So Rashi tells us, Somach Shmir Shabbos Lamay Rav. Torah puts watching Shabbos next to fearing one's parents. Lamay to tell us, Afa Pishis Articha. Even though I warned you on my Rav to fear one's parents, if a parent says to you, Chalel es HaShabbos, be Mechalel Shabbos, Al Tishma Loi, don't listen to him, V'chei Mishar Kol HaMitzvahs, and same is true by all the other mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim, Moir Aveim. But if a parent says to me, Oiv Aveira, the child doesn't have to listen. That's why the Pasuk says, Ish Imoi V'Obav Tirol, V'es HaShabbos Et Tishmairu. Ani Hashem Lakechem, Am Hashem. To the Maggid's famous Moshul, we'll say it a little faster, there were once three friends, and they agreed that they would go and explore the world, and they would meet back a year later, and each one would come with something that he discovered that he found over the year. And the friends separate, and they go all over the world. A year later, the three friends come back together, and they all meet. And the first one says, my discovery, what I found over the year, is I was able to find a telescope. And he takes out some kind of a tube with some glass, and if you look through it, you could see far, far away. And they all take turns looking through a telescope, ooming an eye, how far they could see, and they're amazed at his discovery. The second one says, now it's my turn. And he has with him a wagon, a car of some sort, a wagon that travels very fast. And he shows them, you sit in this wagon, and you press the button, and it takes off, and you can travel and cover large distances in a very short amount of time. And they're amazed at his discovery. And they say to the third one, and what did you discover? He says, I discovered these herbs. These herbs that I can use to make medicine. And if you know how to mix them properly, which I learned over the year, you can heal any sickness in the world. These herbs mixed properly with the proper proportions, proper ratios, could heal any sickness in the world. And I have these herbs. And they're all amazed. And they start a discussion. Who's better? Whose discovery is better? Which one's more important? And as they're examining, each one's looking over the other ones, they look through the telescope, and they see through the telescope the capital city, the royal city where the king lives, and they see the king's palace through the telescope, and there's a big bahala, a big to-do in front of the king's palace, people are running around, in and out, it looks like a whole confusion, a whole big to-do. And they notice a big sign hanging up next to the palace gates. And the sign, they read through the telescope, and the sign says that the king is looking for a doctor to heal the princess. His daughter is unfortunately very sick, and he's looking for doctors to heal. Anybody who has medicine or knowledge to heal his daughter, please come to the palace immediately. And the one with the herbs says, if only I could reach the palace. With these herbs, I could mix for her the proper medication to heal her. If only I could reach the palace. And the other one says, no problem, we'll jump into my wagon, and we'll take off, we'll reach the palace in no time. And all three jump into the wagon, and in no time at all, they come to the royal city, and they pull up in front of the palace. They jump out of the wagon, they run up to the guards, we have medication, herbs to heal the king's daughter, let us in. They come in, he examines the king's daughter, and sure enough, he makes his mixtures, his concoction, he gives her some of the herbs the first day, a little more the second day, and after a while, the king's daughter starts to show an improvement. After a week, after a month, 2 months, she's on the road to recovery, and she's feeling much better. And the king is overjoyed, his daughter is saved, they were able to save her. And the king decides that he wants to marry, let his daughter marry one of these three, because they all came together to save her. As a reward, she will marry one of them as a husband. But the king says to the three of them, I can't decide which one of you deserves to marry her. You all came together, you decide amongst yourselves who should marry her. And the three of them get into a very heated discussion. The first one says, well, if not for my telescope, we wouldn't have seen that the king's daughter was sick. We never would have come, so I deserve to marry her. The second one says, your telescope... What good was it? If not for my wagon, we never would have been able to reach the royal palace and be able to heal. And the third one says, forget your telescope and your wagon. If not for my herbs and my medication, she never would have been healed, so I deserve to marry her. And they get into an argument. And they can't decide. The king says to his daughter, you decide. Tells the princess, you decide which one to marry. She thinks for a while, and she says, the doctor. The one with the medicine, the one with the herbs. And the king asks, so why? After all three contributed towards your well-being, why did you choose the one with the medicine? And she says, because the telescope and the wagon, it's true they contributed towards my well-being, but I have no use for them. I have no future use for them. I don't need them anymore. But the medicine, the herbs, that I always need, so the one that has the medicine and the herbs that I always need, that's the one that I'll marry. So the Dunno Magid, the Nimshel is obvious. Shiloisho Shutfin Yesh Ba'adam. There are three partners in a person. A person's father, a person's mother, and Hashem. Without a person's parents, he doesn't enter the world. Without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person doesn't enter the world. There are three partners in a person. There's a mitzvah of Kibbut Avim, to listen to one's parents, to honor one's parents. However, if one's parents tells a person to be Oiver and Aveira, who does he listen to? He listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a person needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him every second of the day. It's true a person needs his parents, but his parents raised him, a person lives out on his own, when a person, wherever he is in the world, he always needs Hashem. So ish imoi v'yoviv turo, but as shabsoi sait teshmoiru, if it comes to Chil Shabbos, if doing an Aveira, remember, Ani Hashem Okechem, I'm Hashem, and Hashem, a person needs and is with him all the time. And therefore, even though there are three partners in a person, the partner Hashem takes precedence over the parents, and therefore a person always listens to Hashem. The Pasuk says, says later on in Parshas Kedoshim, there's a mitzvah to give musa to somebody. He spoke earlier about giving musa. The pasuk tells us in Perek Yutes, pasuk Yitzayin, Haycheach Tachich Hasam Yisecho. You see somebody doing an aveira, give him musa, rebuke him, v'loisisa of chait. But in such a way that you don't have a chait, you don't have an aveira by doing so. And Rashi says, be careful to v'loisal ben as part of berabin, not to embarrass somebody berabin. If you're giving somebody musa, don't do it and embarrass him at the same time. Because by doing so, it's an aveira. Giving a musa, do it in a way that you won't bring upon yourself a chait. The Dubno Magid once went to a certain town, and he spoke. After he spoke, one of the maskim, a big mechutzef, came over to the Dubno Magid, and he said to the Dubno Magid, you know, Chazal tell us, Devorim hayoytzim min halev, nechnosim nehalev. Words that come from the heart, enter the heart. So when somebody speaks and his words come from the heart, they enter the listener's heart as well. And this Rasha said to the Magid, your words had no effect on me at all. Your words didn't enter my heart. It must be that your words didn't come from the heart. But if your words came from your heart and you really meant what you said, then those words would have entered into my heart. But your words didn't enter into my heart. It must be that your words weren't said properly. The Magid answered him kedarkai with a mashal. He answered him with a marshal, and he said, let me explain to you exactly what your situation is. Once a villager comes into the big city, and he passes by the blacksmith's shop, and he sees the blacksmith has a fire burning, and he's busy heating up metal over the fire, and the fire starts to burn down. As the fire gets low, the blacksmith takes the bellows, and he starts fanning the fire, and as he fans the fire rises, the flames rise. And the villager notices every few minutes when the fire starts to die down, the blacksmith takes the bellows, he fans the fire, and the fire rises up. And the villager says, wow, that's a great cane, a great tool to have. All you do is you wave it over the fire, you wave it, and the fire comes. I have to buy one of those. So he goes and he buys one of these bellows to fan the fire. Comes back to his village, and he wants to show off the marvelous invention that he discovered in the big city. And he says, watch, this could go ahead and make a fire. And he takes the bellows and he starts waving it and fanning it and moving it. And of course nothing happens because there's no fire to fan. There's no fire to blow. And he sits there moving it back and forth and nothing happens at all. And after a while he gives up. He's very troubled. He travels back to the blacksmith and he says to him, tell me, how does it work? What's the trick? How come when I do it nothing happens? And the blacksmith says, tell me exactly what you did. And he tells him, I took it. And I just started fanning it and nothing happened. So the blacksmith laughs and he says, fool what you are, he says. The bellows only works if you have a fire burning. If you have a fire, you have some coals, and you have a little fire, and you fan the fire, then the flames rise. But if you don't have a fire burning at all, then the bellows is not going to help. There has to be a flame, some fire there to start with. So Dunamagat said to him, Devar v'ayitzim ben alei, v'nechnosim alei. That's where there's a heart that wants to listen. There's a little fire burning in the listener's heart. But if in the listener's heart, there's nothing burning at all, and you're not interested in listening, then even the greatest fire is not going to help. It has to be nechnosim alei, to a heart that wants the musa to enter. Just we were counting Sefirah tonight. Tonight already was 24. Somebody didn't count yet, but tonight was 24. We're almost halfway done. 24 times 2 is 48. Almost halfway through Sefirah. And you know, everyone has the famous question when it comes to Sefirah, why do we count up and not down? If you're counting towards an event, you're counting towards Kabbalah Satayrah, we should count down. 49 days left, 48 days left, 47, 46, 45. If a person anticipates an event, how do you count? 1 day down, 2 days, you count? No. 49 days left, 48 days left, 47 days left. Why do we count 1, 2, 3? Let's count 49, 48, till 0. Many answers are given. One of the answers that's given is because when you count 49, 48, 47, you're just looking at the goal. You're not appreciating each day. You're just looking at the goal at the end, the finish line, without appreciating each day. When you count day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, you're appreciating each day. You're showing day 1 has its own avodah. A person has to work the first day of Sefirah in a certain midah, day 2, day 3, day 24, and so on. Each day is appreciated, and each day has its own work that a person does. The Mishnah in the 6th Perek of Pirkei Avos tells us, Barboim Ushmayim Devarim, there are 48 Devarim that the Torah is nicknamed, 48 Kinyonim of Torah. And it's brought down that each day of Sefirah corresponds to one of the 48 days, one of the 48 Kinyonim. Day 1 is the first Kinyon, day 2, and so on. And the last day is a Chazorah of all 48. But we count each day separately because each day is in its own, has its own message, its own avodah, and we prepare towards Kabbalah Satayrah. So we don't just look towards the end, but we appreciate each day slowly, one at a time. Okay, so holding already halfway through Sefirah, preparation of Satayrah, so let's work on ourselves, and we should tackle all be zeichet to a Kabbalah Satayrah, and we should all be zeichet. This Mishum Bizaicha made for Pesach Sheni this year. Mishum Pesach Sheni is coming up. Mishum Bizaicha to Mashiach came here. Remain on me.